Real life. Wow. This is awesome. So how many of you love the Lord? How many people in here actually love the Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm really honored to be here tonight. This is full circle. You know, I was just like you guys. I didn't, you know, ministry wasn't what I wanted to do. Like, I didn't plan to live this life. This was something I grew up in church, but I guess God had other plans. God had other plans. I just want to say and give honor to Pastor Jonathan Criswell. Can you guys give it up for Pastor Jonathan Criswell? He is an amazing leader. You know how you meet some people and you're like, they fake. Like, no. He is genuine. He has an awesome story and an awesome wife, and I'm just so honored to be here. Jubilee, everybody, you know Jubilee? Go ahead, give a round of applause. Go ahead. Yes. And I want to say, look, I'm getting all the shout-outs. I want to say, Mama, I love you. Karen, my wife, my beautiful wife. Fellas, if there's a woman out there that takes your heart and she's good to you, keep her, okay? That's my good thing right there. And I got my little baby girl, Jocelyn, here. I love you, baby. Yeah, she's a cutie. She's a cutie. So I want to continue the series on vision, dreaming, dream state. This is something that with me in my own personal life, I've struggled with it as well, just vision and things like that. And there's this process, and it's like a lot of times we talk about vision, but we don't talk about the process of getting to that place. Like getting to and to see that actual vision come to fruition. So in the middle, there's this like this process that I heard from a bishop that I really admire. And he says, you catch a vision, you carry a vision, and you convey a vision. So it's like a mother who catches a seed and carries it and conveys it. And a lot of times we just don't think about that carrying process. And tonight, I want to, if you have your Bibles, if you have your light up Bibles or whatever type of Bible you have, please turn with me to Proverbs 16, 3 and 4. Proverbs 16, 3 and 4. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, and even the wicked in the day of disaster. Now, this really stuck out to me because of the word commitment. It is so difficult at times to remain committed. Each and every one of you have a call on your life. I'm telling you, you wouldn't be here if God didn't want you to be here. He has a vision and a plan for your life. But there is this process, and it's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this? There is a man who wrote this, actually, by the name of Solomon. And Solomon was, wow, like he had one of the most amazing beginnings you will ever hear about. Like God offered him everything, and I'm talking about everything. So some of y'all, like, you want a house and a car or two cars or two houses. No, Solomon, God said, I'll give you everything, all wealth, all wisdom, everything. And the thing about Solomon, though, he didn't make it to the end. He struggled in that process, in that gap, in that middle period. And that's what I want to talk about today, is that middle area. And my sermon is entitled, Keep Going. Keep Going. I want you to keep going. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. We thank you, God, that you have a destiny, a vision, an overarching vision for each and every one of us, Lord. We just thank you, God, that you position us, Lord, that you strategically align us with people, God, that are going to push us towards our destiny, the vision that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So, when I was in high school, I was actually a track runner. And I did a couple other sports, but track was like my specialty. And I ran the 100-yard dash. I was a sprinter. But my coach, we were at state finals, and I went to South Gwinnett. We got any people from Gwinnett County? What? That's what I'm talking about. So I went to South Gwinnett High School, and I ran track. And we went to state, and this was some years ago. I'm a little older than y'all. I'm 28. So this was a little while back. But he comes up to me. He's like, man, I want you to run the 400 this time. He's like, I need you to run the 400. And I was like, coach, you know, I'm a sprinter. I just get done, and I start waving at the crowd and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But I thought about it, and I said, all right, I'll do it. So he says, okay, this is what I need you to do. All I need you to do is finish strong, and you do not have to finish first. And I was like, what? I was like, that just takes all the stress off of me. He said, I'm going to show you how to do it as well. I was like, all right, cool. So we talked a little bit or whatever, and then it started. So later on that evening, I got on my mark, and I took off. Once they said go, I was gone. And I was running, and I was running, and I was running. I hit that turn, and I hit that turn, and I was like, man, this is easy. I didn't see nobody to my left. I didn't see nobody to my right. And I'm like, this is easy. I can do this. But then I hit turn two. And if anybody knows about track, turn two ain't no joke. Turn two, especially in the 400, if you used to running the 100, turn two is not a joke. So I was like, okay, I got this. And then I see people coming up on my right and coming up on the left, and I'm turning, and I'm like, ooh, I feel something in my side. I'm like, Jesus, I don't want this. I can't do this. I cannot do this. This is not what I thought it was going to be. He gave me these techniques. He gave me these things, like, to do, and I'm like, this is not it. And then so I keep going. We hit turn three, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm about to die. I am about to die. Like, this is straight horrible. But I held on to his word. I held on to that, to what he told me in the beginning. He told me that I did not have to finish first. And I did not have to finish first. And I did not have to finish strong. Thank you. I'm glad you're listening. All right. I did not have to finish first, and I did not have to finish strong. No, I did have to finish strong. Okay. Thank you. Wait a second. Yeah, I'm all tongue-tied. All right, so I held on to that word, and I was like, man, this got me through it. And that is the same thing that is going to get each and every one of you through it in your difficult times. When you are faced with that situation where God tells you, go there, and you go there, and you start running, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. But God is saying, I gave you a word. You have got to hold on to that word. And I'm going to tell you, keep going. If it begins with God, it has to end with God. If it begins with God, it should end with God. There are so many of us, especially nowadays, Generation Z, the millennials, it's so difficult. It's so difficult for you. You have so much demand on your lives and on your time. And the enemy has a specific demand on your lives and on your time. And then you say, well, God has a demand on my life and my time. And it becomes this crazy, crazy conundrum. It just becomes just horrible at times because you just don't know what to do. But I want to tell you, stick with God. Stick with God no matter what. Stick with God no matter what. Solomon begins thriving. He begins thriving. He begins pushing and going towards his destiny. And God gives him divine wisdom and gives him this strength, this push. But for some odd reason, he gets to this point to where he can't continue on. He can't continue the race. And God doesn't want that for you. So Solomon has these issues with his eyes. He has these issues, these moral issues that come up from that are deep rooted, and he can't break them. and he can't break them. And this pretty much detours him from the purpose that God had for Solomon. And he has a purpose for each and every one of you to complete as well. So I'm really using Solomon as a case study. I'm really using Solomon as an example for you guys to see that, yes, you can have a great beginning. Yes, you can have this amazing start and you just feel like, man, God is calling me to CLC. God is calling me to do something amazing in my community, amazing in my state, in my family. And you're just like, but how am I going to do this? How am I going to get there? Faith, if you're taking notes, faith is the fuel. I want everybody to say faith is the fuel. Faith, we do not walk by sight. It is by faith. Remember, God is concerned with your steps, and your steps are going to go hand in hand with your faith. God may tell you to place the staff in the water, and he will part the Red Sea, like he told Moses in Exodus 14. But what is it going to take to get to the Red Sea? It's going to take faith. You're going to have to take those faith steps. You're going to have to take those faith steps when people are watching. You're going to have to take those faith steps when Moses was going to the Red Sea. He had his orders. He had his vision from God. God told him exactly what to do, where to take the people. But Moses still had to have faith. Despite all the people that were watching, Moses still had to have faith. And that was his fuel. That was his fuel. And you guys, in your life, in your everyday life, is everybody in high school here? How many high schoolers do we have in here? Wow, we have a lot of high schoolers. So you all are about to head into summer, I assume. So you're about to head into summer, and summer can be crazy. You may not have all this community with you. You may not have the people driving you. And I don't know your life, but you may not have that in your life. You may not have anybody to really look to, and summer may be something that you're looking forward to, maybe for the wrong reasons. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to need to remain committed, remain in faith and connection and community with God. Please heed my words. Do not just go off and do and wander on your own. You know why? Who wants to separate you? Who wants to separate you from the pack? Who wants to isolate you and get you alone and get you in that person's house that you shouldn't be in, that you know you shouldn't be in? That's exactly what the enemy would like for your destiny, the vision. He wants to take you over there. He doesn't want you right here. So remain committed. Have faith. Use it as your fuel. And it's not just about you. I know a lot of times we think that God just has these special things planned for our lives and things of that nature. But it's not just about you. It's for your family. A lot of us, like myself, we have family members that don't believe in God. We have family members that are not of the faith. They as a matter of fact, they might smack you if you come up there talking about God. They might be like, get out. I don't want to hear nothing that is coming out of your mouth. So it is going to take this great faith and knowing that you are inspiring others. You are inspiring people to seek the Lord's counsel. Amen? When I was going to ministerial leadership, my degree, my bachelor's, I'm about to graduate. I'm about to have a bachelor's in ministerial leadership. So thank you. I appreciate it. When I first initially started and God started tugging my heart to go there, I had so much pushback from my family. I had so much pushback from people that was like friends and associates, and people like, it doesn't pay well. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's going to be so stressful. And I'm like, obviously, you know, the enemy likes to state the obvious, to get you away from your destiny. He loves to state the obvious. Sometimes negative words are confirmation to keep going. negative words are like is another type of fuel to just push you to your destiny, to just push you further with what God has for you. I love the story of Joshua. Joshua, I think he's one of the only people in Scripture that he just did it right. He just did it right. My next point, if you're taking notes, write this down. It is have courage in the process of getting to the dream. It's going to take courage. It's going to take courage. And Joshua, he had it, man. He had the courage, but he was also in charge of the next generation. So after Moses died, it was Joshua's time to step up. And he was in charge of the next generation, and God had to remind him to have courage. And that is another thing that when you are going towards that vision, there's going to be people who don't like it. They don't want to see it happen. They don't want your life to be like that. They don't want you to be happy or find security or have anything in your life that's worth something. So you're going to have courage in the fight. You're going to have courage in the middle. You're going to have courage in the carrying stage so you can birth something beautiful, so you can share it, and you can be that living witness. You can be that example in your community, in your school. And everywhere you go, God is going to use you. You just have to have courage. Stay focused. Stay focused. Please, please stay focused. When I was 19 years old, I joined the Army, the Army Reserves. Thank you. I joined the Army Reserves. I'm spitting all over this mic. Bro. All right. I joined the Army Reserves and I just did it for educational purposes. So I got in there, and it was amazing at first. And then I got deployed. So I was in Afghanistan, and things got crazy. Things got crazy, and it tested my faith tremendously. I was flying all over southern Afghanistan, taking risks, having to pray on flights with sandstorms, and just going through the motions and just having to be like, oh, God, like, what's going to happen today? This is crazy. This is horrible. I can't do this. But let me tell you, even in those situations, even in places where you're properly trained, you're still going to have to remain focused. The last 90 days of a deployment are going to be the toughest 90 days. And why do you think that the last 90 days of a deployment are going to be difficult? They're going to be tough. Why do you think that? Because people get complacent. They don't remain focused. They get complacent. You don't have the luxury, especially at your age, you don't have the luxury of not remaining focused. It's detrimental to your health. It's detrimental to your future. There are so many soldiers, unfortunately, that don't pay attention. They're not on guard. And unfortunately, things happen because of that, and they're knocked off or something goes terribly wrong in the platoon or crew because they did not remain focused. So you have to continue. You have to keep going. You have to keep going. So Solomon, we get to Solomon and we look at his story, and I just feel like he's a little buddy sitting right here. Solomon, he gets to this place to where God warns him. He gives him a pretty much a verbal warning more than one time and says, turn back. Solomon, you can do this. But he says, oh no. He goes off and serves other gods. So Solomon is now serving. He's not just falling. He is now drifting and serving other gods. He's building altars to other gods. He's with foreign women from each and everywhere. He is just pretty much a disgrace at this point. And this is all because of his heart, and he did not remain focused. There is also something that goes with this that I really want to talk about, and it is this last portion of this passage, Proverbs 13:4, it says, the Lord works out everything to his proper end, and even the wicked for a day of disaster. You don't want to be on the wicked side. You don't want to be on the wicked side. That is not the side that you want to be on. You want to be on the prosperous side. You want to be on the winning side. You want to be on the side that God has ordained you to be on. You want to be on the side that is going to make it to heaven, is going to get caught up. You don't want to be on the side that falls away from the faith and it ends up in eternal hell. You don't want to be that person. Now, this whole talk, I'm not telling you that you can't make mistakes. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm not telling you you're not going to make mistakes. I still make mistakes. But what I am telling you, having a heart condition is different than just making bad decisions. When your heart is turned, when your heart is turned away from God, that's a whole different ballgame. That is an entire different ballgame. So don't be anxious. Don't get anxiety. Don't feel like I'm just beating you up today. I really am encouraging you. I really want you to know that I love you. I love you. And if I love you and I don't know you, God loves you even more because he intricately wove you in your mother's womb. Before you even came into this world, he knew you. One-on-one, he knew you. So it is so, so important for me to just encourage you, every single one of you, encourage you to keep going, keep pushing. God desires the best for your life. He doesn't want an end for you like Solomon had. He wants a victorious end like Joshua had. He wants a victorious end. And look, he's not telling you that you have to run this race and finish first. He's not telling you that you, he just wants you to finish strong. He wants you to finish strong. He's not telling you to finish first. It doesn't matter if you see a person next to you, like I did, passing you by. You think they're passing you by, but that is their position in life. That is what God had for them. That is what he's doing in their life. Don't look to your left or look to your right and compare yourself with anybody. You are an individual. I just told you, you were individually put on this earth. Nobody sneaks onto this planet. Despite what anybody would say, nobody sneaks on earth. So you got here because he wanted you to be here. Now think about that. If you got here because he wanted you to be here, then how did you get here? He wanted you to be here tonight. He wanted you to be in this place, hearing that when you do get a vision, some of you may already have a vision. You may already have something that God is putting on your heart. You may already have this bubbling on the inside to serve God, to just do something different, to stand out from your friends, to stand out from the people that are always posting horrible and disgusting things on social media and texting crazy stuff back and forth. So I'm telling you, you're going to need the fuel. You're going to need that faith fuel. You're going to need, if it begins with God, it's going to have to end with God. It doesn't begin with God and end with Satan. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. As the band comes up, I'm just going to wind this down. And I know there are some people in this place right now that haven't had the opportunity to even, they haven't even had the opportunity to express their feelings about having a connection with God. They don't have anybody to talk to. They don't even have a person that they walk with every day in school or in at work to talk to about God. So I want to give you the opportunity right now, in this moment, at this time, to accept God as your Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed and every eyes closed, this is a serious moment. It's a moment that can change not just your life, but your forever. It's a moment that you come face to face with the reality that I've fallen short. I've fallen completely short. And you know what? I want to live for real. I want to have a real life. I want God to give me a vision. I want a desired end for my life. I don't want to just wander around every day waking up, not knowing where I'm going to go when I leave this life. God is here now for you, for each and every one of you, but specifically for the ones that have not had this opportunity. I want you to repeat after me and say this prayer. And this is all you have to do. It's really simple. And if you would just raise your hand so I know who you are, I would love to pray for you right now. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died on a cross. I believe that you rose again. And through that, you covered all of my sins. I was a sinner. But now I know I am free. I accept you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If there is anybody in this place, you might have a vision. You might have this bubbling in your heart. You might have this this dream that God has given you. But you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know this road, this spiritual thing. Like, how am I supposed to get there? We want to pray for you tonight that God will give you strength. He will increase your capacity. He will increase your faith so that you can continue to walk and get to that design destiny, that design place that he has for you. So if I can get my leaders to come up on the front, we're just going to pray for people. And don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel ashamed. If you need prayer, if there's something that you are struggling with, it doesn't even have to pertain to this message. If there's something that you're genuinely struggling with and you need God to get you through it, you need wisdom. See, Solomon had wisdom, but he didn't stick to what he knew. He didn't stick to that wisdom that God gave him. He forgot about God and left it behind. So I'm just asking you right now, just to come. If you need prayer, we are here. We are here for you.